Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We done boxed me.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Happy Mother's Day. Glory. Yeah, yes, she does. For sure. I don't know if that's a, is that a comp? Oh, okay. All right. Muscular lady. She walks all the time. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for seed we can sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father. We place that seed in the hand of a mighty God. You'll multiply it. You'll use it to expand your kingdom. You'll cause a harvest back to the sower. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I'm going to do something a little different. Hey, Trish, you good? Can you stand up, come up here? You and Bernie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? What am I working? No. I want them to anoint me. Here you go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Diane wants to be anointed too.
Well, tell Aunt Diane to come on up here. And no, you don't have to do that.
You don't?
No, all you got to do is turn it over.
All right.
How's that? See?
Perfect.
Here, Bernie. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Father, we just lift my Aunt Diane to you right now, Father. Your word is clear that you are our healer. That by your stripes we are healed. Father, right now her back is hurting, and we know that you don't intend for her to live in pain. Father, we lift her to you right now, and we just declare right now that this pain be gone. Father, you have compassion on your children.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. I'm not dying or anything. I think my gallbladder's flared up, is what I think, but I'm not a doctor. Painful here and a little nauseous. So if I run to the bathroom, you guys don't think nothing of it. You just jump up, start preaching right where I left off. Amen. Amen. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Father, we thank you for your word and what it means to us. And Lord, I just thank you for your healing anointing flowing in this house, Lord God. And Father, I just pray as we study your word this morning, as we look into your word to find just how beautiful you made mothers. Father, as we find out today that women were made in a very special way by you. And for that, we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to look at this word here today in Hebrew. It's the word Tesla. Now, I don't know if the electric car has anything to do with this Hebrew word or not. But we want to look at that word. Now, if you've been around here very long, you know that the rabbis believed that the word of God was interpreted on four levels. There was the Peshat level, which was a literal, simple meaning. Okay. Then they also believed there was the Remez interpretation. Remez means to hint to or to allude to. And it could be hinting to something that's prophetic. So that was the second level you could interpret the scripture. The third level was the Darash level. And you see me do the Darash method every Sunday morning, because I'll take a scripture and take that idea and concept, and we'll go to another scripture and we'll build on that same idea and concept and go to another scripture. So it was building an idea or concept from scripture to scripture. That was the Darash method. And then the last method was called the Sod, and the Sod was the mystical or spiritual interpretation of a word, amen, or of a scripture. Are you with me? So we want to look at this Tesla. We want to see it on its literal meaning. We want to see it alluding to something prophetic. We want to also see how it connects with other places in the scripture. And then we want to see it on its spiritual level. Amen? Now, the word Tesla is a word that can be translated as... Well, let me put the translations up here. I'll put that on the wrong side. It can be translated... We're very Hebrew today. We're going from right to left instead of left to right. Okay? It's translated rib, side. It can be translated as chamber. Okay? We're going to look at it in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, glory to God, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Page 6, if you got a Bible like mine. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Now, if you go to this church at all, you know the word for ground here is the word Adama. Now, Adam's name, or Adam, means one who came up out of the ground. It can also carry the meaning of one who is red from the ground. All right? But here's what we need to see. Your body came up out of the ground. Adam came up out of the ground, and that's why he's called Adam. Now, he's lifeless at this point. Life doesn't come into Adam until God gently and very intimately breathes his spirit into him. And then life begins. So how many of you know that life is holy? Life is sacred because life comes from a holy, sacred God. Amen. Somebody say amen, right? Now, let's jump over a few verses. Let's jump over here. Oh, let's land about verse 15. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.' And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.'" Now, I want to stop here for a minute. I'm going to tell you something about the initial creation of Adam. Adam was created. He would have been what is called asexual. He possessed all the emotion, the intellect, and the physical attributes of male and female. You with me? You okay with that? All right. Now watch. Let's keep reading. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, Tesla, closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman," or in Hebrew, Ishah, "because she was taken out of man." And the word for man in Hebrew, ish. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife." Glory to God. "And they shall become one flesh." Amen. Now, when God takes this Tesla from Adam, it's not simply a rib, but it's all the feminine attributes. All the intellect, all the emotion, all the physical parts of creation out of her, or out of Adam, and forms Eve. Okay? You with me? Now, I think God does this on purpose. Why? Well, in Adam's original creation, he was a whole being. But now, the rabbis say, once the feminine side is taken out, now he's unbalanced. He's not complete. And God created him that way so that memory would always be there that he was not complete without a woman. What memory is that? All right, you ready, y'all adults in here? Sexual desire. You with me? God made male and female to want each other, to desire each other. Amen? All right, you okay with that? All right. So he takes all the female attributes, including the chamber, the womb. I'm going to show you something about that womb here in just a minute. When a man's looking, I wrote this down from some rabbis. When a man is looking for a wife, he in essence is looking for love, yes, but he's also looking for a mother for his seed. Amen? Amen. All right. The nurturing of the child is called maternal love. That maternal love produces in a woman hormones that cause her breast to produce milk so that she can nurture a child. Amen. Rabbis teach us that with the removal of the chamber, or the Tesla, man becomes lopsided, unbalanced, and incomplete. Only when a man and woman are joined together as one is man balanced physically, mentally, and emotionally. You know, I can tell you a truth about that. I know a couple young men. I've been around them. And they're good workers. Good workers. But they just ain't very happy. And wasn't really very good workers. Tell you the truth. Until two of them got married. And now that two of them's married, they're better workers. They're happier. They're complete. Amen.
Amen.
They married good women. Keep them in line. They were quick learners. They learned exactly what she... No, I'm just kidding now. I'm just kidding, all right? I'm just kidding. I don't want anybody to get upset, all right? Now, a man's brain is wired to think logically. He's governed by reason. Therefore, he has greater ability to disconnect or stifle his emotions. That's why sometimes he may seem callous, or out of touch. You ladies agree with me?
Amen.
All right. A woman is softer, more graceful, able to make decisions based on her logic and her heart or emotions. Woman is designed to be more in touch with her emotions than men are.
Amen.
All right. Now, I want to talk about this chamber in its sod interpretation, the spiritual interpretation. All right. You ready? You brace yourself. You ready? Okay. All right. How many of you remember the tabernacle that Moses was instructed to build?
Amen.
You remember it had an outer court, an inner court, and a holy of holies.
Amen.
And there was a veil. There was a veil in front of that holy of holies. And it was the holy of holies where the... I'm getting goosebumps. It was a holy of holies where the presence of God dwelt. Amen? Now, who was consecrated to penetrate the veil? The high priest. Once a year, right? Once a year, the high priest would penetrate the veil, and what would he do? He would sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
For the covering of Israel's sins. Now, I want to show you just how special you ladies have been created. You have a womb, right?
Amen.
All right. You have a womb. Well, let me back up a minute. Let's go to Psalms 139, page 793, verse 13. Psalms 139. Let's go over here. 139, verse 13. Now watch this. And then I'm going to go back to how special you've been created, ladies. Verse 13 says, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." Now in the complete Jewish Bible, it reads this way, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." Wow. Now let's run over to Jeremiah. That'd be to your right. Jeremiah, page 959. Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Watch what God tells the prophet Jeremiah. He said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." So who formed Jeremiah in the womb of his mother? God did.
Amen.
The psalmist said that in the womb, God knitted you together. Amen. So what's that mean? That means that upon conception, God is in the womb. Amen? He puts the spirit into that child. And God is in that womb forming that child. Now let's go forward away from Jeremiah and the psalmist. Let's go all the way to Luke's gospel when the Holy Spirit or the angel is coming to speak to Mary. And he says, "Mary, you're going to conceive a child." All right? And she says, "Well, how can that be? Because I haven't known a man." And he says, "The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you are going to conceive a child." So if God is in the womb with that child, knitting that child, that life, if God is forming in the womb, then it was God himself who formed his son in the womb of Mary. He formed the vessel that would carry the love of God to the world.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you ladies, listen to me. That tabernacle had an outer court, an inner court, where the altar of incense was. It was where the table of showbread and the menorah was. And then it had the veil. And it was the high priest who penetrated that veil. You ladies were made after the model of that tabernacle.
Amen.
Yeah. You have a womb that is holy, set apart by God for what? Life. You ladies, before you were married, there was a veil called the hymen in front of that womb. And the only person that had the right to penetrate that was a man who was consecrated and committed to the covenant of marriage with you.
Amen.
Amen. And upon penetration of that hymen, blood flows.
Amen.
See, marriage is a blood covenant.
Amen.
Amen. So you see how special you ladies are? God created you with a place where He would come and dwell and produce life.
Amen.
He didn't do that for us guys. But He did that for you ladies. That's amazing to me. That upon the moment of conception, God is in your womb, ladies, not mine. In your womb, making life.
Amen.
So that womb has been consecrated and dedicated as a holy place that is to produce life. Now, how much more weight have we put on the sin of abortion just now?
Amen.
Huh? Not only are you violating a child, a life, you are violating a holy place.
Amen.
Wow. Anybody, any of you ladies feel special yet? So tell me then, if you're so special and you have built in you a holy place for God to bring forth life, how come women are so oppressed and exploited? Let me read you some things I wrote down. I wrote these things down. Women experience sexual discrimination, harassment, pornography, rape, extortion, prostitution, sex trafficking, other sexual crimes. Religions like Islam oppress their women. You know, I have a movie called The Stoning of Soriano. And one of these days we're going to have to watch it. Because it's a really good story of how an Islamic husband wanted to get a new wife, a younger wife. And so he trumps up charges on his wife, and they end up stoning her to death. Amen? Somebody say amen or oh me, it's true. All right, now watch. Why is it? Why is it that women are so exploited? Because of a promise God made to a woman. Remember in the garden, after the serpent has deceived Eve, and God comes in and tells that serpent that the seed of a woman is going to crush your head.
Amen.
Whew. So, no wonder the devil has been after you ladies. Somebody say amen or oh me. I want to tell you something. God consecrated things like Sabbath, Shabbat. And in that Shabbat service, in the home, is where it was done. In that Sabbath service, they would bring their children in. They would pray. They would sing praises to God. The mother would bless the father. The father would bless the mother. Now let me ask you, how would our culture be changed if every Friday evening in our culture, young men saw their fathers blessing their mothers? How would that have changed the perception that young men have for women today? I think it would have been a radical difference.
Amen.
Amen. So you women are extremely special. I mean, some of you have had, all of you that have children, listen, God made you special, loved you enough to allow you to participate in bringing life into this world.
Amen.
I mean, there is nothing that will change, that will soften a man's heart than watching a child be born. And there's nothing that will excite, that's if the man can stand it. Okay? That's if he could take it. When my first one was born, I couldn't take it. They had her back. I'm there. Well, this crowd will remember it. They had typewriters back then. One computer, typewriters. Actually had a piece of paper, and there's typing on there. And she's typing, and she's looking up. She asked me questions. She's looking up. Finally, she says, "Sir." "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I just want to comfort you with these words. We have never, ever lost a father." I said, "Well, I appreciate that." But I'll never forget when they brought Andy to me. It was the most joyful occasion, yet it was also a kind of overwhelming, because all of a sudden, you know, I'm all about me, and now I know some things got to change, because he's my responsibility. It's kind of overwhelming. But you want to light, you want to brighten up a room full of women, just bring a baby in. Right? Man, they all go goo-goo. Now, turn with me. Turn with me if you would. I'm going to finish up here. Not sure I can go much longer. I'm going to try to take this to the end. Thank you, Lord. Matthew. Go to Matthew 26. I'm going to show you something. I want to talk to you just for a minute before I read this. I know that on Wednesday nights we've been talking about the betrothal process, engagement process. And I'm going to talk to you just a little bit more about it. Remember, in Revelation 3, and I want to say this to you. In studying Revelations now for 26 weeks, we had the 21st lesson, 25 weeks. We had the 21st lesson on the book of Revelations this past Wednesday. But I have realized that the most important things in the book are not the number 666, not the Antichrist, it's not the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, or the seal judgments. None of those judgments. That's not what it's about. The letters to the seven churches give us a little hint, because we know here that the letters to the seven churches can be applied today to us, and it's basically, bride, make yourself ready.
Amen.
Because I believe the most important event in that book of Revelations is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Anyway, make a long story short. Let me get to where I'm going. When that man, young man, knocks on the door, you know, Revelations 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And in the Jewish culture, the young man and his father, the father would put out rumors that his son wanted to marry a local gal. And so, you know how Arnton is. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody's business. You know, small town. So in a small village, that word got out. The dad probably did it on purpose to get the word out. The young lady, you know, she was excited. You know, ladies get excited when they get engaged. Amen? And so do men. All right, now, Jesus is standing at the door knocking, and the imagery is this Jewish engagement process. You know, right? Does she have the option of opening that door, leaving it closed? Yes, she does. If she leaves it closed, it's over. If she opens it, they come in. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen first. They're going to come in, they're going to sit down, and they're going to talk about the bride price. And do you know whose will gets done at that moment? The father of the bride. It's his will that the son-in-law, future son-in-law, accepts. So it's her father that sets the bride price. Now, once that's set, the groom drinks of the Erucin cup, the first cup. He drinks it, and then he passes it to her. And if she drinks of that cup, it's sealed. It's a done deal. And then the fathers drink a cup of wine, and then they bring a scribe in, and he writes the contract out, and then they get the families, and they have more wine, and they have a supper. Okay? They have a covenant meal together. And then you know that that last cup, the fourth cup, before he leaves to go prepare a place for her, before he leaves, she will drink of the fourth cup, but the groom does not drink of that fourth cup. He won't drink of that fourth cup until after the wedding.
Amen.
Amen? What did Jesus tell his disciples at the Last Supper? He said, I will not drink of this cup again until I come in the kingdom.
Amen.
He was talking as a bridegroom.
Amen.
All right? Now, with that said, I want to show you something else that Jesus said and see if we can glean something from it. All right? Church tradition is a powerful thing, and it's hard to get people to change their mind, even if you got the Word of God right here in front of them. Okay? But we're going to try. Look at verse 36 of Matthew 26. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, all right, and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now, let's go back to that betrothal ceremony. It's the Father who sets the price. The price the Father, God the Father, set for His Son was His life. You with me?
Amen.
So Jesus says, "Hey, not my will, your will be done." And then but before that he says, "Let this cup pass from me." Now, he possibly could have been talking about his death. But then again, on a deeper level, a more spiritual level, he could have been talking about the groom passing that cup to his bride. You with me?
Amen.
See, now watch. Now stay with me. Because we're about to take communion here this morning. Right?
Amen.
We're blood-bought, born again. Correct? And passing that cup, we're going to drink of that cup. Remember that bridegroom, that bridegroom passed that cup to that bride. So in essence, when we take communion this morning, that cup of grape juice that represents the blood of Jesus, represents his life, also represents that fourth cup at that betrothal ceremony, that first cup, the one the bride or the groom passed on to the bride. Amen. Glory to God. And you and I, when we were born again, we drank of that cup.
Amen.
Did we not?
Amen.
When we said yes to Jesus, we drank of that first cup. Now we're going to drink of this cup. The fourth cup, the one that Jesus said he wouldn't drink of till he returned. But we're going to drink of it because it's symbolic for us that we're going to remain faithful till he comes.
Amen.
Amen. I can't tell you how special I believe God made you ladies, that you could carry life for 9 months and then bring that life forward. I mean, that is amazing that God gives you that privilege. Of course, he only gave you that privilege because he loves us guys so much. No, I'm only kidding. I'll tell you what, He did love us enough to fashion and make you special. Amen.
Amen.
Gave you that beauty to catch our eye.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bernie, won't you and Jackie help me today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. John's thinking, why can't you do this during football season? Not really. That may be a little bit. Hallelujah. Sure. Okay. Neat. We got Derek here today. He'll help us with that. Big muscular guy. Hallelujah. Everybody been served. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the body of our Lord Jesus, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed and made whole. And Lord Jesus, you instructed your disciples that when they took of the elements of communion, that they were to do this in remembrance of you. So this morning, Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, as the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, as our high priest interceding for us right now, and as our soon coming king, we take and eat your body. Lord Jesus, as your bride, we are going to drink of your life this morning. And by drinking of your life, we are dedicating our lives to remain faithful until you come. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we drink of your life this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands one more time. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, I thank you for these my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord, that if there are any in here that need healing in their body, your healing anointing is flowing. If there are any in here that need that are emotionally distressed, Lord God, I pray you meet that need. Father, meet every financial need and every spiritual need for these your people. And Father, we'll never fail to give you glory, to give you honor, and to give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Jackie, the Memorial Day outreach that you do, what day does that start?
It starts on Saturday.
Saturday. All right. So Memorial Day weekend on Saturday, Sunday, and you wrap it up on Monday, don't you?
I'll wrap it up on Saturday.
On Saturday? It's just Saturday?
Yes.